God will give you peace always by all means. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:16. I want to share a couple of verses this morning of something the Holy Spirit spoke to me. This is a verse I discovered a couple of years ago, and I've really, really, really loved this verse. I go back to it a lot. It's become one of my favorite verses because to me I see it as a promise in the spirit realm. And I want to convey that to you this morning. If you could see this as a promise, you know, people talk about standing and claiming promises of the Word of God. Unfortunately, a lot of people allocate that or relegate that to physical things, you know, temporal things. But the physical and the temporal shall pass away, okay? The real promises are the eternal things. The Bible says, well, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And this is an eternal promise in this life and the life to come. It's a glorious promise. There's really none better almost in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The teaching this morning is God will give you peace always by all means. That has got to be the most amazing promise in the Bible. That no matter what you go through, no matter what situations and circumstances and dynamics and frustrations and history things and whatever's been in your life in the past, whatever, God will always, always give you peace. Can you amen? Do you believe that's true? The Lord himself. It's interesting. It says, now, the Lord of peace himself will give you peace. It's the Lord gives you peace. Do you know no one else can give you peace? Peace doesn't come from anywhere but from Jesus. One thing Jesus did a lot when he came to people, my peace be unto you. My peace be yours. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. There's a peace that passes all understanding, we're told in Philippians. And it's from the Lord. Only from him. It doesn't come from anywhere else. And you can look everywhere. You will never find the peace of God. And the peace of the Lord, to me, is the most precious commodity of the kingdom of God. It's the most blessed thing I have in my life. I hate it when I lose my peace. I'm miserable when I don't have peace. Because the minding of the Spirit is life and peace. And it's a torment to live apart from peace. Now, there are really two kinds of peace. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Okay? We've been reconciled to God. We're no longer subject to his wrath. But Paul says in Philippians, now, the peace of God that passes all understanding. There's another peace. Christ put it another way. He said, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's the peace with God. Now, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest into your souls. That's the deeper peace. God wants to give us a peace, not just in relationship to him, alleviating the wrath of God, but to give us a peace with him at all times, a peace that passes understanding. It's a wonderful promise. And if you could just get the revelation of 2 Thessalonians 3:16, let's read it again. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. You can throw that at demons. And what I wanted to consider today is what if you don't have that peace? What's the deal? You say, well, I see that, but I don't have peace all the time. Because the Bible says peace always by all means. The promise is no matter what happens, you can have peace. By all means. He will give you peace always, no matter what comes down. You say, well, I don't experience that. Well, okay, that's what we're going to look at this morning, because the promise is you can have it. And if you're not experiencing it, there may be something you need to do, which is found in Romans 14, 17. Here's what we need to do to have peace always. There is a responsibility on our side. The Lord himself will give you peace always by all means, but there is something we need to do. Look at this, Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and what? Peace and joy. So he's saying the kingdom of God is peace and righteousness. Now look at this. For he that of these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved to man. Look at the next verse. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? And things wherewith one may edify another. So what he's saying is you need to make peace your aim. You want peace always, bombing, then you need to follow the things that make for peace. You need to make the focus of your life peace. I'm going to do what I got to do to maintain the peace. You know, Jesus even put it once in the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the, anybody? peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. So peace is something you can make happen. Now, the understanding in that particular verse implies making peace amongst others. Blessed are those who are standing there reconciling, mediating, and bringing peace in relationships. But you know, it's incumbent upon us to make peace in ourselves. We can bring peace upon ourselves, making peace. And here he's saying, but let's pursue the things of peace. Now look at, flip the page, one back, 12:18. Romans 12:18. Listen to this. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, what does it say? Live peaceably with all men. Isn't that an interesting verse? If it's possible, as much as possible, try to live at peace with all men. In other words, there's a responsibility we have. The Lord himself will give you peace, but we have our responsibility. It's incumbent upon us to make peace, to keep peace in the family, to keep peace in the family of God, to keep peace. Amen? In Matthew 5, it says, if you go to the altar and there, remember that your brother has ought against you. Leave your gift, go what? Make peace. Matthew 18, he says, if you remember, if your brother's offended you, what's he tell us to do? Go make peace. And if it doesn't hear, take two or more. What? To make peace. And if that doesn't happen, take it before their church. Why? To bring peace. To eliminate the discord, eliminate the chaos or the division, to make peace. Be peacemaker. In other words, it's incumbent upon us to pursue peace. Psalm 34 says, seek peace and pursue it. We're called to pursue peace, to follow after the things for peace. Amen? Peace is a commodity. Jesus even said, when you come to a person's house, he says, and they open the door, let your peace be upon the house. And he talks about some people may spurn the peace. He says, let the peace return unto you. It's almost like it's a commodity. You can give peace. It's something you can actually give. Didn't Jesus say, my peace I give unto you? You know, when you have peace on you, you can bequeath the peace. You can give the peace. You can bless people with peace. You can lay hands on people and say, peace in Jesus' name. I've actually many a time prayed for people. I've done it up here from the front. Prayed peace and actually sensed in the spirit like oil, like a blanket, like snow, like something peaceful coming over the mind and heart. Amen? It's a phenomena. Peace that passes all understanding. It's indicative of the presence of God. Wherever Jesus is, there's peace. Awesome peace. Infinite peace. Nothing can rob the peace of Jesus when you're in his presence. So this is what it's saying, is as much as lies in you. Now look, you may say this, okay, I can understand my brother. My brother or someone that's a Christian offends me, I go to him, right? Or and I take somebody else to work it out. By the way, most problems in most churches, did you know most problems in most churches boil down to that passage in Matthew 18? People don't go to their neighbor when they offend them. They go to somebody else and they tell them about it. Amen? They go gossip. They go to everybody but the one that offended them. They put it in the newsletter. They post it on their website. But they don't go to the one that offended them. Amen? And so Jesus says, don't talk to anybody. Go right to the offender as the offendee and bring peace. But what if the person's in the world? What if it's somebody at my job? What if it's my boss who's a heathen? What if it's somebody at school or somebody that doesn't know the Lord? And, you know, the notion of going to them and confronting them, that, you know, they'll throw them in my face. You know, Christ said, do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn again and rend you. Did you know that? Proverbs 9, I believe it is, it says, he that rebukes a wicked man gets a blot. Some people you can't talk to. They don't know Jesus. You can't go to them and say, well, you know, that really bothered me. They say, it did? Well, good. Glad it did. I wanted to bother you. You make me mad. I was going to use another phrase. You know? And so, you know, and they just curse you. So that doesn't work in the world. So how do you make peace with some jerk in the world that's just focused on being your enemy? Anybody? What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say about your enemy? What? There it is. Love your enemy. Pray for you. Do good to those that hurt you. Pray for those that despitefully use you and abuse you. So you can make peace in the world. How about loving your enemy? Amen. Don't go to somebody that's a total heathen saying, I need to share with you my feelings. I really feel hurt by what you did. I mean, dude, do that. Don't do that. Just pray for them. Amen. Pray for them. Ask the Lord how to love them. Make a plate of brownies. If it's a guy, that works every time. Amen? If it's somebody from New Orleans, make a bowl of gumbo. Be creative. If you're Hallie, bring him some Ezekiel bread. Do something to love them. It confuses the demon. You go out there and love people that are in the world. They're not used to people loving. The people used to be rejecting and throwing up walls and writing them off. And you're up there just loving your enemy. Get out of man. That's fun. Go out there and love your enemy. That's how you make peace. And you could all probably come up here and give testimony of instances in the world where the Lord's challenged you, you've done that, and then the good fruit come out of it. Amen? Is that true? If you walk with the Lord any length of time, you're going to have experiences where you have to love your enemy and how God does it. But it takes the bigger man to love the enemy. It takes the bigger man to forgive. We used to say in a fight, the first one to ask forgiveness and humble themselves wins the fight in the spirit. So look at Hebrews 12:14. So again, are you getting the message this morning? The Lord promises peace always by all means. But guys, it's not some little angel with the poof factor. You know, the little magic wand, poof. You're instantly at peace. There is something we need to do. We need to seek peace. We need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants to lead us to peace. And He's going to, if you don't have peace, I found if I ever get up and I don't have peace, I go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't have peace. What's going on? You know a lot of times what He's doing? He's telling me the reason you don't have peace is because there's something you need to do this morning. And a lot of times in my quiet time, He wants me to pray for someone. There's something coming down. I got to pray. I got to intercede. I got to just pray in tongues until I get peace. It's the Holy Ghost stirring me up. There's something's fixing to happen in the spirit world. I need you to pray peace. I need you to pray spiritual warfare. I need you to do what you got to do until you get your peace. And then you know it's done. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No better way for the Holy Ghost to get my attention than to take my peace away. It kind of freaks me out now, too. Because God is good. Over the years, I've learned to walk in a lot of peace. And when my peace is robbed, I kind of freak out, because I know the Holy Ghost, something's coming down. But the other side is, I know that if I do the right thing, I can alleviate and often see things change because of walking in the Spirit and taking authority over demons. Y'all with me this morning? Okay. So, again, the premise is, yeah, but that's a promise. He'll give peace always by all means. But if I don't have peace, well, make it your aim. Make it. Some of y'all may not have peace because you never made it right with somebody. You've never gone and obeyed the Holy Ghost and gone and made that right. You just stuffed it and you justified and you blamed and you said, well, it's their problem, not mine. And you were disobedient. And guess what? So to some degree, you've lost some peace. And what comes in is nervousness and worry and doubt and demons. And you're tormented, but the fear had torment. And you know, God will let you sit in that pot. Last verse of Matthew 18 says, He'll deliver you to the tormentors if you don't love your enemy. If you don't make it right. Look it up. Last verse of Matthew 18. He will deliver you to the tormentors. So at some point you go, this is stupid. I'm going to be tormented. I'm going to obey Jesus. Walk through my fear. Make it right. Humble myself. God gives grace to the humble, and I get my peace back. And here's another thing. Another reason, folks, lacking the peace is, look at this, Hebrews 12:14. Look at this verse. Follow what? Peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Now look at the context. Looking diligently, lest any man fall from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. What he's implying is, a lot of times the reason folks don't have peace or have intermittent peace is because of roots of bitterness. There's bitterness in their life. There's a stronghold of bitterness. And they don't see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which, in other words, that's spiritual blindness. You can't perceive things in the spirit. Short-sightedness, spiritual nearsightedness. And bitterness will do that. Roots of bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment invariably keep us in bondage. And it takes away our peace. Our peace is intermittent peace, periodic peace. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? The bottom line is, as I meditated on the verse in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, the Lord Himself give you peace always by all means. Folks, that's a wonderful promise. You need to look. That needs to be, what's that word, the litmus test? You ever heard of that? How does litmus paper work? I know you dip it in a solution and it turns a certain color based upon the acidity or the litmus test in our life of genuineness with God in all ways is peace. That passes all understanding. God has called us to live in a place of peace. Well, I really believe he tells us to live in the present moment, where the past and the future have no power over you. You're living in the moment. You're living in the spirit. That's the spirit. You live in the moment. You know, when you live in the moment in the spirit, you can perceive angelic and demonic beings, because the angelic and the demonic live in the present moment. They don't live in the past or the future. And if you're caught up in the past, beating yourself up, regretting, feeling guilty, walking around, are you caught in the future all worried and anxious and fretting? Guess what? You're missing what's going on right in front of you is the angelic and the demonic. And one of the gifts of the Spirit is discerning of spirits. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you're cognizant of what's going on in the spiritual realm, and you can be used of God to exercise his authority in the spirit world and bind demons and take authority over principalities. Can you amen? That's where he's called us to be. Just live in the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, except you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what did he mean by that? I was thinking about that the other day. I was driving around thinking, what does it mean, except you become as little children? What is it about little children that are free and innocent that's unique about them, that they lose when they get older? Yeah, it's a wonder. It's an innocent wonder. Kids are really cool. You know, when they're little, like little Andrew, and, oh, mommy, butterfly. Ah. I mean, his whole life at that moment is that butterfly. He's not thinking, oh, yesterday, mommy spanked me. Or tomorrow, you know, I got to go to the doctor. Is he thinking that? No. He's thinking, butterfly. He lives in the moment. Amen? There's a wonder of childhood. Do you know you spend all your life trying to find what you lost as kids? Did you know that? All your life you're trying to find that innocence, that freedom, that wonder you had as kids. They say the greatest movie ever made was Citizen Kane. You gotta see it. I have it burned on my hard drive by Orson Welles. And the hook of the entire movie is in the last frame of 5 seconds. The entire movie doesn't make sense until the last frame, and suddenly you go, aha, it all wraps. That's why it's such a good movie. And it's really, it sums up that principle. We spent all our life trying to find what we hadn't had as a kid. And you know the good news? You can have it now in the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit. You can re-experience the wonder, the innocence, that's what the blood of Jesus is for. You can actually be back in the place where when a butterfly or a sunset, you can go, whoa, thank you, Lord, and your heart, and you're there, and you see it, and you glorify God, and you praise God. Amen? That's what we're called to live, in the present moment. And demons will do everything to keep you out of the present moment. They're scared of you when you're in the present moment, because you're a threat then, because your eyes are open, and you can see. Just like Elijah, who could see. Remember the angels camped around? And Gehazi, was it, with his servant, was blind. Lord, open his eyes. They had Old Testament prophets called the seers. And I think Elijah was one. I think Elijah, half the time, one eye was open in the spirit world. He could just see stuff in the spirit all the time. He could see angelic beings. Guy came and said, I dropped my axe in the water. He probably just saw some angel laying against a tree. And the angel just kind of nodded to a stick. I mean, he was one eye open, the spirit of all. And you know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to walk in the spirit in this life. On the other side, we're going to see him all the time. Okay? For here, we walk by faith and there by sight. The good thing is, now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. But you know, in the spirit, we can see now. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's what he says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man can see the Lord. God wants to clear up the spiritual blindness where we can perceive in the spirit and see and discern. But I'm telling you, the major attack of the demons is to keep you out of that present moment. Everything they do and slam you with is to keep, because you're a threat in the present moment. Can you amen? Walking in peace. So it's incumbent upon us again, folks, if we want to walk in the promise of 2 Thessalonians 3:16, is make peace your aim. Make it right. Two things. One, make it right. If there's someone you ought to fellowship with, folks, make it right. Amen? And second, get the roots of bitterness out. Get deliverance. Get the roots of bitterness out. They're roots. Sometimes we get the surface fruits, but get the roots out. The roots out come out through repentance and deliverance. Breaking curses. Casting out demons. Last place, Psalm 37. You know, I really believe, folks, that deliverance is a shortcut. I remember I had a preacher years ago who used to say there's no shortcuts to maturity. And he's right. On one level, there isn't. Everybody's got to go through the same. But there is something that can expedite the process. That's deliverance. If you will submit yourself and allow people to operate in discernment and come against, discern, and cast out things, it may not have to be worked its way out. I guess it would be analogous to this. Listen, if you got a splinter, okay, eventually the body is going to push that thing out. Hopefully. Am I right? Or you can go in there with a needle and tweezers and pull it right out. Either you're going to let that thing work itself out over many years with lots of pain, or you're just going to open it up, let somebody get it with the tweezers and pull it right out. So deliverance really can expedite the process of coming to the place of peace. Last place, Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, I love this, and shall delight themselves, what? In the abundance of peace. Folks, that's just not in the life to come, that's here. There is an abundance of peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Or charis in the mount guard of your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, don't sell yourself short. The greatest, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the demons rob you of peace. When you are fearful or anxious and troubled about many things, you are demon bait and you are useless to the kingdom of God. So it's incumbent upon us to take what it means and do what we got to do. And the Holy Ghost will show you. That's what he came for. No big deal. If you're serious, if you say, if you want peace more than anything else. And like I said, I've had peace so long, it's for so many years in my life. You know, I'll do whatever. Jesus, give me my peace back. It ain't worth it. I hate fear. I hate worry. I hate fear. Fear is miserable to me. I won't live in fear. In Jesus' name. I hate that feeling. Gives me stomach aches. Messes my system, my metabolism up. Amen? I won't live there. I lived in all my life when I was unsaved. And from a number of years when I was saved. Praise God, I'm free from fear. We're not given a spirit of fear. And it's true. But you know what? I have to be on the warfare. I have to take the offense to keep that fear out, because there's always something trying to trip me up. Always something trying to confuse my brain and get me fearful. But you know what? If I just keep the offense, stay in the spirit, nothing can overcome us. Say this after me, Jesus. I will obey the voice of the Holy Spirit in how you are leading me and convicting me to be a peacemaker between others and my own soul in Jesus. I will make it right with those that have harmed me. I will endeavor to love others as much as I can. To love my enemy. To come out of self-pity and to choose to love, forgive, and bless. I will make it my passion and commitment to do whatever I gotta do, to be delivered of every root of bitterness and resentment, so that my spiritual eyes can be opened and I can walk in the present moment. For the minding of the Spirit is life and peace. Satan, you're a liar. I bind you, your wiles and devices in my life. For Jesus in me is greater than any demon. Praise you, Lord God. Come and have your way. I make a commitment to you today. Amen. Now let me pray. Lord, I pray right now, the peace of God come with peace now. To the degree that you were honest and real and sincere and open, God will pour that peace over your spirit and mind and heart right now. Come, I ask you, Father, in the name of your Son, by the power of the Holy Ghost, let the peace of God come now. Name of the Lord Jesus, the peace of God, peace of the Lord, the commodity of peace, the spirit of peace. I bless these people with peace. Name of the Lord Jesus, to speak the peace of Jesus Christ. Peace of the Lord Jesus be on your spirit now, on your mind. Take a deep breath. Come, come. Peace, mind and heart, over your mind like a cloak, like a blanket. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Now, be still. Be still. Peace. Be still. Amen. Stillness is the reward of the believer. Go in peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.